Hello, hello, it's Yokai Kajidori here, and on behalf of my business partner Trevor Stockwell and the amazing team here at World Outsourcing Solutions, I want to welcome you to this special episode of Enlightened Entrepreneur. You can find us at worldoutsourcingsolutions.com, where we specialize in providing business owners from all walks of life with highly trained, highly skilled virtual assistants. We are the go-to center of all your outsourcing needs based here in the United Kingdom. Hi, it's Yokai Kajidori here. Once again, I've got a very special guest with me tonight, Craig Wolf, who is the president of Celebrity Duck. Craig, welcome to the call.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
It's great to have you on the call. Before this call, actually, I was talking to you and you were sharing with me about your journey to where you are right now. And you are doing extremely well in a very unique industry over there in the US. Do you mind just give us a bit about your story, how you got started in the industry?
Well, you know, before I got into Rubber Ducks, I was actually publishing art from television commercials. I went to Coca-Cola and I said, do you see the way Disney markets the artwork from their cartoons, like the actual scenes from the cartoon, you can hang it on your wall? Why don't we do that with the Coke Bears? And, you know, they never thought of that before. And it took me about a year to convince them, and we did, became one of their top-selling art pieces. And then I went to Anheuser-Busch, and I said, why don't we do it with your artwork from your Bud Frogs and things? And then I went to the M&Ms and Nabisco and Campbell's Soup, and I was doing everybody. And we became one of the largest publishers of artwork from television commercials in the country until one night at a party, a friend maybe had a little too much to drink, and he said, what about rubber ducks that look like celebrities? I said, and everyone, of course, just ignored it except me. I said, you know, that could be cute.
Yes.
And so I called King Features, who owned the rights to Betty Boop. I said, hey, how about if I make a Betty Boop duck? And, you know, they probably couldn't get me off the phone quick enough, thinking it was a crazy person. But they said, sure, you make your Betty Boop duck, give us a call, goodbye. And I made one, you know?
Yes.
And sent it to them. And one day I come in, and there's a message from the head of licensing. She says, got your Betty Boop duck. It's really cute. Let's talk. And Celebrity Duck was born. And this was like 1997. We did our first Betty Boop duck. And then slowly we added and added and added. And when things really took off is when I send out all my own press releases, do all my own things. And a writer from the Atlantic City Press on the East Coast called me and said, why should we write a story about you? I said, well, you know, I live in California, but I'm actually from New Jersey. I used to go to Atlantic City. She goes, okay, that's good enough. And they did a story about us. And that weekend, the vice president of the Philadelphia 76ers saw it, called us, said, can you do our superstar, Allen Iverson, and do his tattoos on his arms, his cornrows, exactly like his real tattoos? I said, sure. I mean, I wasn't positive we could do it, but I hoped we could. And as I always joke, when we got done with that duck, it looked more like him than he did. It was an amazing replica. And it was a huge hit. They sold out. We were on national TV. Then the Yankees and the Chicago Cubs called. And all of a sudden, I realized I had a whole new business. Now, I have no business background. I'm an English major from Hobart College in upstate New York.
So yes.
I figured, I'm lucky I can run one business. I'm not going to run two. So I sold off the animation. We became all ducks. And never looked back.
Wow. And you are now the leading provider of rubber ducks.
We're now the top custom duck manufacturer in the world. Yeah, when you go to celebrityducks.com and you go to the custom ducks section, we do work for the Yankees, SeaWorld, you know, Zappos of Amazon. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the Jersey Boys on Broadway. I mean, it's amazing how much work we do.
And what I find more amazing is you don't have employees in doing all these things. You outsource all of this work.
Well, as I mentioned, one of the biggest accomplishments we've done here is return the whole rubber duck industry back to America.
Yes.
And the only reason I was able to do that is because I don't have employees or board members or anybody who can tell me no. So basically, because if I did, they would have fired me. And so I basically do not do what other people would call maximizing shareholder value in the short term. I always look at the long term. And because I own the company 100%, I can make those decisions, look at the big picture, not the short term.
Right.
And thus things like bringing the industry back to America, which has been very profitable for us, and things like that I can do. And rather than have a bunch of, you know, board members and employees, I have people who work for me all over the world that I outsource to. You know, we have our factories outside is in New York. Our second factory is outside Detroit. We have a factory in China. Our warehouse is in Ohio. Our art department's in Cincinnati. I work with all these people everywhere, everywhere. And I just manage it all from California. So it's like I have this huge staff, because I think I told you earlier,
yes,
I never considered myself the smartest guy in the room. But yes, the one thing I always knew was I knew my liabilities and what I was lacking. And so I surrounded myself with people a lot smarter than me. And that's what makes it work.
Incredible. There you go. You know, if you're listening to this, it's one of the best advice you could get. You know, just surround yourself with the people that are brighter than you, and you, they will take your ideas global, you know, to the greatest heights possible. And, you know, Craig has proven this over and over and over again. Now, Craig, how did you get started working from home, looking back from where you are right now?
Oh, well, I've always worked from home. You know, my heroes, Richard Branson, I think he still works from home.
He does work from home, yes.
Steve Jobs, you know, and I always felt that was the model, the most sane business model. You know, as you get older, you feel, you put your time. I never thrived in offices. I'm like a plant that wilts in fluorescent lights.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't work for me. And you got to know who you are. My daughter, she needs structure. She's an artist. She designed all my ducks in the early years. But when it came time for her to, you know, to get, you know, more seasoned employment, she went to people like Pottery Barn. She worked for in Sanrio, who does Hello Kitty. She needed structure around her. I don't need that so much. I can really discipline myself really well. So for me, I knew that I would do fine in an office. And I'm always a big believer in lean and mean and keep your overhead down as low as possible, which allows you to expand and spend money in the places where you really need to, not waste it on rents and excess employees that you're not really always needing.
Yes, yes. You know, in our previous conversation, you talked about, you know, outsourcing, you know, giving you a competitive edge advantage in light of, you know, when you started working from home. Would you expand on that?
Well, it's a great equalizer today. You see, before the internet and outsourcing, people, only the big companies could survive.
Yes.
Now anybody can do it. The littlest guy can look like he's a humongous company. And he can do it because he can find manufacturing partners. Like, did Craig Wolf go out and buy three factories? I don't think so.
No.
You know? But I have three partners. You know? Do they have ownership? No. Do I have liability? No. But I have partners. And so that way, what I realized was a long time ago, and my girlfriend always says it, she goes, what you are is a good, you're like a sandwich maker.
Yes.
You go, you know, you're an assembler. You're really good at putting things together, putting people together. I go, that is my skill. That is the one thing I'll say I can do, put people together and smarter people than me together. And so if you have those types of skills, you can, you know, put all these people together. And if you're a good communicator and know how to communicate with everybody and keep all these balls juggling, not everybody can do that. So that's why, you know, you really need to know who you are and what you can do. I found that's what I can do. And I find that I do it best out of a house. And I don't believe an office environment for what I do is necessary whatsoever.
Incredible. Incredible. And, you know, how did you get to choose to be in this particular line of work?
Well,
was there
the
a
animation,
criteria?
I always loved anime. You know, I graduated college, and to my family's dismay, I had no idea what I wanted to do. Zero.
That's 90% of, you know, population in today's world, you know.
Yeah. So I looked, one day I walked into a store and I saw a picture of Mickey Mouse hanging on the wall.
Yes.
And it was an animation drawing used in making the original cartoons of Disney.
Yes.
I said, you could own these things from the 1930s? I go, that's what I want to do. The artwork, I was so inspired. See, I only work when I'm inspired. I don't get inspired. I don't care how much money it makes. I just sit and do nothing. When I get inspired, I'm like King Kong, which is funny. Because if you were to know me, you go, Craig, are you a brave person? I go, no. I feel I'm a fearful person.
Right.
But when I'm inspired, I'm like fearless. It's the funniest damn thing. Even I'm amazed by it. I'll spend money like a drunken sailor. You know, I'll go crazy when I'm inspired. So
incredible.
when I started the animation, I was so inspired. I started and I made a success out of it. And then I contacted these companies and I take computer animation and do what Disney was doing. No one had done that before. Because remember, Disney is making animation cells to hang on your wall that are hand-drawn. I'm taking commercials like the Coke Bears and the Bud Frogs. They're done on computers, so there's no hand drawing, so I have to get them out of the computer. So I had to retrain myself how to get the right people to help me do all that and work with the studios who are doing the animation. I'm a good learner from people, and I did that. And that's how I grew the company, by constantly surrounding myself with really smart people and being inspired by ideas that really moved me. And then from the animation, you know, as I told you, the person had that idea of the ducks, and for whatever reason, it totally inspired me.
You're just operating in this zone, so to speak. Yes,
it did. It really put me in the zone. I go, this is cute. This is unique. This is different. And I'm always into that.
Yes, and in the process, you've made millions, you know, from these artworks which you've produced, and you will continue to make millions.
I have, you know, and I've always felt I'm a custodian of money to be given to nonprofit. You know, I mean, I have my, you know, places where I'll be donating it to. I never felt that money was to be used, that the whole role of business and money is to see how much good you can do with it.
That's
just
correct.
Accumulating means nothing to me.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I knew from the time I was a little kid, a lifespan is very, 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 very short.
Yes.
So to me, it's all about having fun and then using the money to help others. That's my point.
You and I are kindred in spirit when it comes to that, because a few years ago, you know, when I was starting an outsourcing company, like, you know, the one that, you know, is hosting this program, is most of my outsourced workers are based in the Philippines. And I wanted to give something back to the community. So I adopted 40 children that I am responsible for every day, literally, you know, making sure they, you know, they're fed. And these are from the very poorest parts of the countries, you know, just to give back to, you know, to the way that it's being done. Of course, you know, truth be told, you know, that wouldn't be possible if I was doing it all by myself. But it's because I've managed to generate clients from Australia, the US, here in the UK, you know, that helps me to fuel that passion or that desire of mine, you know, to give back to the community. Now, going back to...
beautiful. I love that.
It is wonderful, Craig. You know, like, for example, we just did a Christmas thing for them just, you know, not long ago. And we're giving presents. When I get to receive the photos of the joy that these young, you know, lives have as a result of what we're doing, nothing comes close to the feeling of contributing and giving back to the community. It's amazing. It really is.
That's so wonderful, man.
Yes.
I love it. Now, that's why you do business. People doing business to make money. I've never gotten that. One day my ex-brother-in-law said, I'm going to do this business to make money and sell this dog bowl that collapses.
Yes.
I go, really? Does that excite you? He goes, yeah, but I think you make a lot of money. I go, wow, that has never been a motivation for me. Never, ever.
Yes.
I have to do something that I feel inspired by. I don't feel inspired. I don't care how much money it makes. I ain't doing it.
Yes.
I ain't waking up every day to do something I don't like just to make money. You know?
Yes, yes. I think we are the same again on that. Is money is a byproduct of adding value to someone or just making a difference somehow. Because you can take away money, but if you make someone's life much better, no one can take away the feeling that you get from making someone's life better. You know, and
right.
I think you and I have been entrusted with this money or with this opportunity to give. And if you don't give, if you don't you know, participate in that, you are not living fully. You see, living life to the full, it is when you express all your gifts and, you know, you give all that you have, because everything we have is not necessarily for ourselves to enjoy, but is to contribute to this human race that we happen to be part of. just jumping back to, you know, to your initial steps when you got started, what were your basic initial steps? You know, think in terms of you are advising somebody who is getting started in
following. Well, the first thing I always tell people is you got the internet. I didn't have the internet when I started. See who's doing what you want to do out there. I mean, you really got to Google search it, because don't waste your money doing something that you know, is already being done better and that you're not going to be able to really get a niche of the market. If there are people doing it, you've really got to hone your brand down to find out what it is that makes you different. You see, people, when they start businesses, they want to be all things to all people. And what do they say? You try and become all things to all people, you become nothing to anybody.
Absolutely. Because,
yeah, because you don't have an edge. You don't have a niche. I never tried to be the biggest. I tried to be the best. You know, I tried to really become, as I told you earlier, you know, I never tried to be the cheapest because I knew there was always someone to make it cheaper. You know, yes. Live by the penny, die by the penny. I always tried to, you know, you look at the, no one will ever create ducks better than me. So you look at the website celebriducks.com and in the store and you go, wow. And then you see them in real life and people can't believe with a gift box and the detail and the floating ability. Yes. You know, nobody does what we do. That's why we're the top custom duck manufacturer in the world. You know, people call us. You ever watch the movie Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Remember Harvey Keitel, the cleaner? Yes. The guy comes in and cleans things up. Well, that's, we get calls. They go, I started with another. They really gave us cheap prices. Now they're screwing up the job. We're going to miss the deadline. And the character looks nothing like we're trying to get. Can you take it over and save it? That's what we did when Conan O'Brien moved from the NBC Today Show to Turner Network. He wanted 2,000 Conan rubber ducks, which you can see on our site in the custom duck section. And the deadline was coming right up. Nobody could make the deadline. It was impossible. And the day before his show opened, we had 2,000 Conan ducks sitting on his doorstep. That's why people come to us. We're like the Harvey Keitel, the cleaner of rubber ducks. You know, we get things done. They can count on us. We don't miss deadlines. And we communicate. We're in America, you know, and so we know what makes us really unique and different. Trying to just put out cheap crap? Nah, that's not me. They can go somewhere else. I don't care about that. Again, that doesn't excite me. I like to do creative projects, do things that make people's brands stand out. I'm always amused that a lot of times people will try and get a rubber duck and put their logo on it, and they pick the cheapest thing they can find, and they're putting their logo on it. So they go get something from overseas that's really hard plastic, doesn't float. It's an embarrassment for the brand. But they get it cheap, and that's enough for them. Well, I feel your brand is everything. So everything about you should speak, you know, and highlight your brand. Yes. So I always try to have a real clarity of the clients I work with and for my own brand that we really do something that makes their brand and our brand really stand out as top of the line.
Incredible. There's a real lesson there on what you're sharing. And I'm hoping, you know, our subscribers here will be able to actually learn from that. What is coming out really loud and clear is you do what is the best. You don't settle for, you know, anything less. And when you're
right,
doing
you do what's the best with the best, and that's how you get different from everybody else. Find out what makes you different. Find out what makes you better. Focus on that. Better to be a small fish in a big fish in a small pond than, you know, a small fish in a big pond, because, you know, if you can own your niche, you'll always have work coming in. Always, if you're the best in your niche.
And you'll be satisfied as well with what you're doing. You know,
you'll be satisfied,
you'll be proud,
yeah,
of the work that you're producing.
Exactly.
Yes. Now, let's go back to how did you get your first client, you know, that made you, just a few minutes you were telling when you went ballistic. Actually, you were in the news.
Yeah,
and
well, you know,
how did you do that?
They, you know, the way I work a lot through the PR. So I'm always putting things out about us and letting people find us. So most people find us. Like if you do Google searches and Yahoo and stuff, you put in PVC ducks, ducks made in America, this and that, celebrity rubber ducks, you get us. And I always tried to be, you know, so people find us, to be honest with you, because we're really good at what we do. And then the other thing I do is in the very early days, you know, because it was hard for people to find us. You know, I would make calls. I'd find people who had gift stores or places where I thought it would be, they'd find our products of interest.
Yes.
But I felt it was, and that's fine. You will find people. But usually if you're doing a brand that's so unique and different, even calling stores won't help you, you see. Here's why. Most stores buy what they know. And when you're doing something that's very unique and cutting edge, they don't know you. So you have to really show why you're different and better. And that's why in the beginning, rather than putting up a whole lot of money in sales, I was like a big believer in that Kevin Costner movie, Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. So I put my money into creating the best product out there. And assuming once I figure out how to do that,
yes,
then people will find me. And they have. They definitely have.
Incredible, incredible. I think you've just tied up to the next question, which I had. How do you actually market your business or your brand, basically, you know, so that people can always say, you know, if you want things done, go to Craig. You know, how do you do that?
Well, you know, certainly the search engines are huge for us. And there are a few industries, you know, people who in the industry, like who we are, so like the ASI industry, which is like promotional products, since we do so much custom work, you know, we are members of that. But for the most part, every day I sit here, and that's how I found your friend probably. I was, you know, I get those reporter requests, people looking for stories, and I send out press release every day about stories, about what we're doing here.
Yes.
And we get probably as much coverage as anybody because we're a story. If you bring a whole industry back to America that began here, it's a story. If you're creating the safest rubber ducks in the world, it's a story. You know, the fact that you're dealing with rubber ducks is funny. And rubber ducks is a big industry. God knows, you know, we sell a lot of them in the UK. You know, yes. I mean, they're everywhere. And in fact, we sell at the Royal Shakespeare Theatre. They're one of our big clients. They sell our Shakespeare duck. So we really realize that the market is huge for rubber ducks out there. And if we could tweak it and be different from everyone else out there, we definitely find our sea legs. And I realize most people aren't going to compete with us because they're not going to put the time and the money. And plus, we can move so much quicker than most companies because we don't have to, you know, we're not sitting in meetings doing this. We can turn on a dime. That's why we're so fast at, you know, a lot of times what we do.
Now, that's very interesting what you've just said there, that you move in quickly. And I find most entrepreneurs, I interview, you know, hundreds of entrepreneurs right now. The most successful entrepreneurs I find are the ones that moves really quickly. They see the opportunity, they move fast. They don't take time to analyze. You know, they just move straight away when that inspiration is there. And you just mentioned it there again. You know, how do you do that? You know, for the benefit of our listeners here.
Well, you know, the way we've tended to move fast is, you know, we've just gotten very, very efficient. The way you can move fast is if you have a network of partners who are really at the top of their game. Like my art director, Chris, his father invented the Easy Bake Oven.
Right.
This guy sculpts things for Star Wars. He's a genius. He's so talented. Our warehouse is top notch. You know, our factories, you know, if you know the Ernie rubber duck from Sesame Street, they started making those at our factory in New York before the industry went overseas, you know. So we're working with really experts, and that's what you want to do. You want to surround yourself with experts, you know, people who are the best at what they do. And that they can move really quickly.
Incredible.
And, you know, and if you have that, you can move like a buzzsaw, you know. I mean, it's amazing how fast you can move with the internet these days and phone call. I always joke, a laptop, a phone, cell phone, I could be sitting on a beach in Waikiki running this business.
Absolutely.
Because it's all about communication. If you're not a people person, you're not good with people, stay away from this, because the only way my business model works is if you're really, really good with people and staying in touch with people and communicating with people, because you're juggling so many balls and so many factories and so many different locations. So if you're not a good communicator, you're not organized, those would be things you'd have to think twice about. You might be better working in an office. But if you are self-disciplined and you're a good communicator, and you're a good person who knows how to, you know, stay in touch with people and keep them, everybody up to date, and know how to use people.
Yes.
You know, you could work out of your house and create an incredible business, as Richard Branson has.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just going off topic, you know, for a bit. Say you were giving an advice to somebody who is looking to better themselves in terms of communicating with people. Those two key issues you've mentioned, you know, what would you say to them? This is a new business owner who's just getting started.
Well, you know, the way I say it is, you know, you have to begin by knowing what you're good and what you're not good at. If not, everybody's going to be a great communicator, you know, if you're not and you still really want to do it, just make sure that you're working whoever you're working with, you have somebody. In other words, always have somebody to make up for your deficiencies. Yes. So if you're a bad communicator, you can't be in a business outsourcing everything poorly. You have to have a partner or somebody who's good at that side of it. And maybe you're good with the bottom line and the dollars and cents and the bookkeeping.
Correct.
You got to know what you're good at. And, you know, not everybody's going to be a good outsourcer, do what I do. Like, I take my lady friend, she'd be terrible at doing this.
I hope she's not listening to this, because she's...
She'll hear it. But in the early days, I had her packing boxes, and she was terrible at it.
Right.
You know, but she's brilliant. She's the smartest person I've ever met. She's just not good at packing boxes, and she's not good at coordinating a lot of people.
Yes.
But is she smart? All those costume quackers are coming from ideas with her. I don't do anything in this business. I don't run by her. Everybody's got to have a business confidant who you totally trust that you run your ideas by. Because
yes.
No matter how smart you are, you're not. And that's what's led to our success, is I take input from everybody. Some people aren't good at that. I love input, and then I have to take it and, you know, put it together and decide what's good, what's not, what to use, what not to use.
Yes.
And usually, rather than we come into a discussion where it's like, okay, I heard your input, we're doing it my way, we usually discuss it to the point where we all go, yeah, this is the best way to do it, and we're all in agreement.
Yes.
That's management by consensus, as opposed to top-down management by ego. And if you know how to work with people and do that, well, you can go far.
Incredible. Well said. And we're just coming up to the end of our time together here. But I know, you know, most of our listeners would want to have an idea of what your usual day look like when you're working from home.
Well, I usually start off, I come in, you know, I got emails from everybody and everywhere. And I try and answer as many as I can. And then once I've gotten that done, I kind of move on. And I start actually, putting calls in, and I do all my PR. I put calls to people who need to get back to me. Like, I have a custom job. I'm supposed to be talking to you today about some people as far as getting their, you know, new job started. And so I do that, and I just, you know, sift through the emails, and I do a lot of PR. Every day I send out a press releases to someone somewhere. I use, you know, that press release service, Harrow.
Yes.
Which is how I think we first, you know, found you guys. And then I always send it out. I don't care how big or how small the person I'm talking to is. I turn down nothing. And I'll tell you something. It's the way I do business. You know, my smallest client is the same as my biggest client. So the guy selling at a flea market is just as important to me as SeaWorld. And you go, that's crazy, man. That's, how do you look at it like that? I go, well, that's the only way I see to do business. Somebody at a major entertainment company once told me, Craig, I'll be honest with you, we do 90% of our business with 10% of our vendors. So we thought, why not get rid of almost everybody and just work with the big guys? I said, you know, that's amazing. That's the opposite of my business model. I work with anybody, and I treat my smallest guy the same as my biggest guy. That's how I do business. So throughout the day, I will get calls from people. Some people just need my help, have questions. You know, I'm happy to help them, you know. And I'll just, you know, be on the phone answering questions, responding to emails, doing my PR, sending in orders, you know, and developing the PR campaign for the new products that we have coming out, like the costume quackers and the good PVC-free medical food-grade rubber ducks, which is a huge launch for us.
Incredible. You know, other than Harrow, what other PR do you use?
You know, sometimes we've used e-releases and PR web. I get called all the time, I mean, people, you know, to do interviews with, and I, you know, even apart from Harrow, people find us and so forth, and Carol Roth, I contribute to different people's blogs and things, you know, whenever I find something, if someone wants to talk to me, they want to hear what I have to say, I'll share it.
Incredible. What an amazing attitude to have.
Well, I like to show people that, you know, you don't have to be the biggest. You just have to, you know, have good, you know, good business sense and again, yourself with smart people.
Yes. Yes. That is incredible. You know, talking to somebody who is getting started to work from home, what would be the two advice you say you really need to work on this? Otherwise, everything's going to go downhill.
Well, you better have a separate office.
Right.
And you better know how to manage your time. You know, if you can't, every time someone, a friend calls or your child walks in the room, if you can't discipline yourself, you're going to have trouble. If you can discipline your hours, you know, take breaks, you know, that's fine. But really, no, just because you're at home, you're at work. Some people thrive in that environment. Some people, wow, they don't. You really need to know, you know, how to manage your time. I can't say that's strong enough. And you really have to get along with people. You have to get along with people. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, the most important thing is you have to get along with people.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, because money is in people. You know, how can you get to their money if you can't get on with the person? So, you know, I couldn't agree with you.
If you're not, you know, some people aren't good with people. You and I, you know, you could tell, we could talk for hours. You know, we're just naturally, you know, that's just, we're wired that way.
Yes.
So for someone who doesn't get along, is, you know, is kind of taciturn, is, you know, is brittle, you know, they get offended easily, they're tight. Nah, you don't want to be an entrepreneur. You know, it's just, you be a bookkeeper or something, you know, have a more structured life. You have to really roll with the punches as an entrepreneur. And there's a lot of stress when you're dependent on your own efforts for your money. You don't get a set paycheck.
Yes.
So you got to really, you got to take risks. I take risks. But I take what I call calculated risks.
Absolutely. That's what entrepreneur does. That's what I do. Because if you just take risk every, you know, left, right, and center without...
You'd be crazy. You go out of business. Now, you look at those good ducks and you go, wow. So you, how much did you spend on those good ducks? I go, the molds alone were about, you know, like tens of thousands on molds. And the material, and no one ever done it before. You go, you spent all this money and you're starting off with 10,000 of them, and then the box production, you're getting, you're nosing toward 100,000.
Yes.
I go, you don't even know if these things will work. I go, I know, I don't. But I'll tell you, I have a strong feeling that they will, a strong enough feeling that I will invest some money into it. In other words, you have to have a strong enough feeling that you're not throwing bad money after good. That you really are, you know, enough on the zeitgeist of doing something unique and different. So it's always going to be a risk.
Yes.
But you can minimize that risk. You know, you can do it in steps too.
Yes.
So if you know how to manage money, you will, you know, you'll be okay. If you know how to manage your time, manage money a little bit. You know, I don't read profit and loss statements very well. I hardly look at anything. But I can tell you how much money's in the bank without even looking at it. Just a gut level feeling.
Yes.
And that's how entrepreneurs work. They work a lot from their gut.
That's correct. And also, you know, you've got great people around you, experts, you know, who can work with you, you know, on those areas that you need a visual reading, maybe for the profit and loss, you know, balances, so that you have all that working together. Now, just wrapping up this, Craig, you've been wonderful with me here with our time together. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you were starting out?
Well, you know, I'm a big believer in lean and mean, but you need to know where to spend money.
Correct.
You do have to spend money, but you need to know where to spend money. So some of the licenses I got in the beginning were inexpensive licenses, but that would have been a place to spend a lot of money, because you know why? You don't usually, well, you do, but, you know, that statement, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. You want to come out of the gate really strong. So you want to have your visual, the way people see you, first class, first rate.
Excellent.
So ideally, you want to have your best factory, your best product, you know, that really nails who you are. Because everything you're putting out is a statement about your brand. And so I would have spent more money on basically better, you know, a better line of licenses and products. But, you know, like I look at the Costume Quackers now, I think it's the best stuff we've ever done. I was joking with my lady. I said, why the hell didn't I think of this 15 years ago? It's such a cool idea, because they're yellow ducks, but they have the feeling of these personalities. And it's just, I mean, you know, you don't think of it. You know, you only know it. You can't know what you don't know. And you only get there through doing what you do know.
Incredible.
And it takes time. It takes time. So no matter how much you go into it and how much research you do, you're going to be a whole different person in a year. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how much work you've done. In a year, you'll know a lot more of everything that was wrong, everything that was right.
Incredible. What a wise words for you to share. Thank you so much for being here with me today. If people want to get in touch with you, Craig, where can they find you?
info@celeberducks.com. I get every email. I respond to everything too, believe it or not. And then also, you know, you can just go to the website. You know, my phone number is all over it, 415-456-3452. You know, these days in companies, they put no phone number or they hide it so small, praying you'll never call them, praying. And it's kind of funny here because anyone who needs me, they can actually get right to me.
Excellent. Excellent. And
I've always felt that's the way you run business.
That's the way I run my business. That's the way to get noticed. You want people to find you very easily because you want to help those people. So, yes, you know, people have to do that.
Right. I believe that, you know, it's really important to be accessible to people.
Absolutely.
And to treat, you know, Buddhists have a saying, they say equal view. You look at everyone equally.
Yes.
If you only care about your top customers and not your smaller customers, you know, again, that's not how I see doing business. And I think it's unethical personally.
Yes.
Since it's about human relationships. Never, never forget that.
Incredible. That's a lot of great information we got out of our time here today. Do you do any coaching programs, you know, for people who are actually aspiring to be entrepreneurs?
No.
Or do you have any
I don't actually. If people have questions for me, you know, I'm always here. You know, they can always
just
call
to that.
With me. I always make myself accessible.
Excellent. Excellent. It's been wonderful having you here with me on this program, and we wish you a tremendous success over the next quarter of the year. By the way, what are your 3 or 5 years goals with the company you're running successfully already? You've made millions.
Well, I hope, you know, somebody asked me, I do so many interviews,
and
someone asked me, they said, so what's your succession plan?
Yes.
I go, you got me there. You know, that's my Achilles heel. I don't know who to turn this company over to, you know, because I know how to do it. And, you know, I can do it in my sleep. I can teach a chimpanzee how to run this thing.
Yes.
But I don't know who to turn it over to. So you can only hope you get bought out, you know, because I don't have anyone really to run it. And, you know, it's not like my business isn't my life. You know, I play music. I have, you know, keyboards and synthesizers and pianos. And I'd like to spend more time on my music. And, you know, I don't live for just to do business. You know, business is part of my life, you know.
Yes.
Love hanging out with my lady. I mean, there's a million books I like to read, so I don't want to be doing this forever. You would hope some big company would see the value that would take it over and I could consult with them, because this business would be probably 10 times the size if it was taken over by a larger corporation. So you go, why don't you grow at that size? Well, remember, it's all my money. So I'd move a little slower. But
right.
Fast enough, but I'm not going to make any stupid decisions with my nest egg, if you know what I mean.
That's correct. Yes, yes. Well, congratulations on, you know, making it happen for yourself, you know, for Celebrity Ducks to be as good as it
is. Yeah, if you go to CelebrityDucks.com, you can read all about us in the Made in America section, or shop.celebrityducks.com. You can see the costume quackers. I think you'll be amazed. They're really, really cute. We have a good UK distributor who has our whole line over there, and then people can always call or write. And, you know, I've really enjoyed chatting with you quite a bit.
Incredible, incredible. Thanks again for being here with us. I will definitely be in touch with you. And for our listeners, more of the resources will be found right below this link. And if you want to get in touch with Craig, just send us an email at support@worldoutsourcingsolutions.com. Alternatively, there is a link here to his website right at the bottom of this conversation here with you. Have a great day, everyone. Whatever you do, go have a blast and make a difference to the people you're doing life with. Speak with you very soon.
Thank you.
Bye for now.